So tonight I will speak about, or the title of my talk is Awakening Natural Compassion in the Anthropocene. So it's a rather tender topic for me, and perhaps some of you can relate to that tenderness. It's certainly not easy or pleasant to speak about the human impact on our home, the earth, and the fact that our activities have significantly altered natural systems to the point where we don't know how life will be sustained in the near future. So I feel a bit conflicted. I'm aware of really just wanting all of us here and everyone everywhere to live with a sense of safety and ease, and that talking about this is an invitation to look at and open to something that can be quite disturbing. I promise I won't leave us in the disturbance, but I know that sometimes these things can land in a difficult way. And I just want to be upfront that what I offer here is really geared for people who believe in the science, that really believe that human activity is causing climate change and ecological destruction. And it's really in no way an attempt to dissuade or argue with anyone who doesn't believe in the science. And so I just want to start by saying for anyone, if this talk doesn't land well or if you don't resonate with it, I just ask for your forbearance and I also ask for your forgiveness. I really want a happy ever after ending for all of us. And I think one thing we know from the Dharma is that there are no guarantees, and that the best we can do is to show up for life as it is, and that our practice gives us the skill, the strength, the competency to have a sense of poise and balance in the midst of great change and great challenge and great uncertainty. And so this invitation that I'm offering you tonight is to see your Dharma practice as a means or a vehicle out of anxiety and fear and into love and a natural compassion. So humans are altering Earth's natural cycles, and that's really putting great pressure on the planet, and I believe it's really putting a lot of stress on individuals, that this is just a very clear and palatable dukkha in our lives. And that the burning of fossil fuels, so burning wood and coal and oil and natural gas, has brought so much progress to humans. We've been able to have tremendous economic growth. We've had great innovations, industrialization, urbanization. Many, many humans have benefited greatly from the use of fossil fuels. We've seen amazing gains in the last several decades in health and wealth security and longevity. What has not been so obvious for most of us, not everyone, but most of us, is that the Earth has paid a very, very heavy price for this growth. And while we now are increasingly aware of this impact, greenhouse gas emissions continue to escalate. They continue to rise at a fast rate. And we're experiencing increasing temperatures. There's a great loss of biodiversity. We're in the midst of the sixth great species extinction. Sea levels are rising. Oceans are becoming more acidified. We don't really know the scale of the change that's been set in motion, but we do know that what we do today will affect that. And that if we are to have any chance at finding a safe operating space for humanity, we need to begin to change our ways. We really need to look at how can we cut carbon emissions. In the recent issue of Tricycle, there were several articles devoted to climate change, and the editorial said this: the defining question is not just how we will meet calamities in the future, but how we respond right now. It is a measure of our mind. Response is our karma. That is all we have. So response is our karma. And so we're not alone on this journey. We're part of a vast and growing global movement, which includes some of our dearest Dharma teachers, such as Bhikkhu Bodhi, Tanisara, Aya Ananda Bodhi, Jack Kornfield, and broader than just the Buddhist community. We can look around and people of all faiths and no faith are beginning to accelerate their awareness and response to what's happening and to really work at and commit themselves to discerning a wise and compassionate response. And we have many Dharma teachers who we can turn to for guidance and support. You see through One Earth Sangha, there's this collective effort to really pick up and examine the Dharma and offer their best understanding of the Dharma as a way for us to help us navigate our experience of what's happening and to unleash this natural response of compassion. So these truths are stressful. These truths can be so hard to bear. And yet what we know, what the Buddha has taught us, what we have seen for ourselves, is that the way out of stress is through. We can't go around stress to be free of it. We have to turn and acknowledge its existence and then look at the causes. And say, maybe said more simply, we can't adequately respond to a problem that we can't acknowledge. So the first noble truth is a very empowering invitation to start on this journey, right? So just the first basic, we have to acknowledge or face what's happening. And by this, I don't mean dwelling in it, becoming obsessed in it, or staying with it when it's too overwhelming and you really can't deal with it appropriately. Really talking more about seeing how you can open to it, how you can bring it into awareness skillfully with kindness towards yourself. So allowing and inviting yourself to get to know it with a spirit of curiosity. How does the truth of the harm that's happening to our home land in this heart and mind? What's the response? How do you feel it in the body? To really bring great awareness and to see if just allowing yourself to open to it, even the littlest bit, begins to unburden your heart and relax your mind. And to watch what comes up and see if you can stay with that as well. The whole range of emotions, from great love to fear, despair, joy, resentment, awe, inadequacy, whatever it is, perhaps it's the judging mind, whatever comes up, just let it come, know it, and let it go. I don't think it's a stretch to say that seeing carbon emissions continuing to accelerate despite the very clear science of its harmful effects, that this addiction, this inability to change, is fueled by a mind that's in the grip of greed, hatred, and ignorance. This is the three poisons. The mind that's just caught or trapped in reactivity and just trying to get what it wants and push away what it doesn't want. We see it in our own minds, and when we look into the world, we see what happens when it's amplified through our systems. And it's not just our systems that are responding inadequately. I recently spent a week on retreat with the Green Faith Fellowship program that I'm a part of, whose mission is to support faith leaders to look at what's happening and to respond appropriately. And so I watched myself go there a little sheepishly at first because I haven't felt that engaged, and then just get very inspired by what others are doing and this great sense of possibility. And so I came home with all sorts of ideas, big and small, and I've just watched that momentum dissipate. So I too share in this disconnection, this gap between knowing and doing. And so what I'm inviting myself to do is to become curious about that disconnection, become curious about that gap. And to stay with it and also inquire, what supports me to offer my best in response to what I know, and what blocks that response? So as much as I want to just jump out there and take action, I realize more and more that much of my activism is at arm's length. I'd sign the petitions online. I think those are important, but I've started to pay attention to what's the attitude in my mind when I engage in that activity. And I have to admit, there's a disconnect most times, that I'm not really taking in what's happening, that I'm just sort of doing it out of almost an obligation, some way of staying true to myself as a person who cares, and yet not opening fully to how I feel about what's happening, or really asking myself, am I giving this my best? Is this the best I can offer? And so I want to be clear that I'm not judging activism or clicktivism. I'm just trying to share the experience of staying connected and embodied through our experience. And I realize that I have great faith that the more I can do that, I will naturally respond to what's happening with a greater force, because it will be fueled with awareness and love. And so I believe that's possible for everyone. And so this is really unformed, beginning exploration. And so it's very moving to me to be able to bring this to Sangha and to offer it and to have it perhaps be something that's brought into the collective and that we begin to move and explore together. I know Tam talked about this topic last week. We've participated as a group in One Earth Sangha, and there's another One Earth Sangha training cup coming up in August. I believe many of us are feeling the stress of our times and that the Sangha can be a refuge and a place of support and ideas and action. So I have this sense that our best response comes when we are, it comes out of love and connection and not guilt or obligation. And so a question for me is how to foster that love and that connection. And one part I think is just getting in touch with our aspiration and our sense of what's our best expression. I recently saw a photo exhibit at the New Mexico Museum of Art, and it was photos of Christians who, during the Holocaust, had reached out to offer help to Jews. And one person there describing, well, how are you able to do this, said, I was lucky that during the war, I played my high notes. I was lucky that during the war, I played my high notes. Isn't that beautiful? It's really recognizing sometimes maybe we just don't know, but that there's grace in having a sense of who we are and giving it our best. And another person said, I was afraid, but I had to do it. I can relate to that. And so I think community is one way to overcome fear, and that metta is the antidote to fear. And then when we're rooted in metta, we've probably all seen this, when you see someone trip and fall, do you just sit there and say, oh, they're going to fall? No, you reach out, you try to help. And I think it's helpful to stay connected to that aspect within ourselves that naturally responds with, how can I help? And to really pay attention to that and to try to strengthen it. And so what I'm beginning to see for myself is that this natural compassion, and especially compassionate response for the earth, is blocked by wrong views and misperceptions. and that these wrong views and misperceptions foster a sense of disconnection and powerlessness and a sense of separation. And so I just want to briefly touch on those, that the misperceptions that I'm starting to see and kind of bring into awareness. The first is that just this sense that we're not nature, that somehow we're separate or above, outside of nature. And then also that we can't bear the truth and that we can't speak the truth. And then the third is that Dharma should really just be used to address what we might call individual dukkha, and that Dharma really doesn't have a place in social dukkha. I think this is a very strong misperception that can lead to the fourth misperception, which is that the way out of the situation that we find ourselves is going to come through personal change, not societal change. And so we all start looking at, well, we've probably all changed our light bulbs by now, but, you know, can I drive less? What if I, do I have to use less? And that we just limit ourselves really as the role of a consumer and not as an actor in civil society, and that this is a really big distortion. And that when our mind is absorbed in these misperceptions and they're guiding our actions, they disconnect us from joy and beauty and awe and wonder of being a natural being in this natural world. It also disconnects us from others. Have you ever wanted to say to someone when they say, oh, it's so nice we're having warm weather in January, you want to say, well, you know, yeah, but this is climate change, but then you think, oh, I don't want to make them uncomfortable, or I don't want them to think I'm a freak. And so we help to sustain this ignorance in our society. And that these misperceptions also disconnect us from empathy, from having just a natural caring response to another's situation. On Sunday, some of you heard that Tam recently got me what I think is just the best gift ever. Still tell you something about who I am. She got me, we're still calling them binoculars, but it's the reverse of a binocular. It takes really tiny things and magnifies them. So you could see a flower that's just like little, and it's just big, and it's vibrant, and you can see just like the slightest bit of moisture on a petal. And, you know, I was watching some insect, and it was on a petal, and it reached out to the far end of the petal, and then it was like, whoa! And then it like rebalanced itself, and I was just like, I get you, you know, like, yeah, we're all like that, right? We're all trying to balance in this world and to stay safe and just kind of get through with what we got to get through. And so I've just been so like brought to life by this looking and seeing the world in a way I've never seen it. And just like, it's awesome. There's just so amazing to see all forms of life just wanting to live, to be safe, to have enough to eat, to be in its their own way healthy, happy, secure. We're all there. We're all together there. And I just was like, wow, this joy is so awesome. And it's such a beautiful balance to opening to the dukkha of the situation that we're in. And so it's so important as we open to dukkha to take care to really open to joy as well and to nourish a sense of joy. So now it's happened what has often happened to me, which is I put too much into my talks. So I think I will stop here and just to say this is an ongoing exploration. It's certainly part of my Green Faith Fellowship responsibility or obligation, as well as a deep personal interest. And so I will, not every Dharma talk, but I will continue to explore this theme in subsequent Dharma talks. And I've been talking with Anne about leading a couple of day-long retreats, because it's obvious there's quite a limitation in bringing this up as a Dharma talk. It's difficult to practice some of the tools or exercises that can help us to connect and can help us hold our experience. So just to know more is coming through offerings, not just by me, but I think other people in our presenters group, as well as Susie's retreat. One Earth Sangha will have an Ecosattva training starting in September. David Loy is coming to Taos. There's really a lot of different ways to connect and to explore. So I'll just close this part with another quote from Tricycle Magazine. And this was someone telling the story of going on retreat and more or less raising these same questions to his teacher. And she said, "Sit with it. Sit with what is and what you are and watch it. If you are concerned about the forest, go to the forest, sit with the forest, and pay attention, and you may know what to do." So, thank you for your kindness. And, we have time for discussion and reflection or